Well, we are in the Gospel of Matthew. It is the Gospel of Matthew here, and we begin with the Sermon on the Mount, chapter 5, 6, and 7. It's one of the most famous sermons in history, so periodically throughout the liturgical season, we will get bits and pieces. We'll have sermons on the greatest sermons. That's what's coming. And the sermon begins with the Beatitudes, which I think I've preached a few times since I've been here. I've only been here 2 years, but I feel like I've had a couple of sermons on it. There's a couple of passages like that, but they keep popping up in the lectionary. So I thought I would take a crack at emphasizing more on the Corinthians passage. Paul is writing to the church of Corinth. This is a very big, huge capital city in Asia, and this is kind of like a New York type city, really big, and lots of people. And so he's writing this church, and they're a mess. Oh, the church of Corinth is a mess. It's Paul's longest correspondence, and it's like not very many do's, but a lot of don'ts. Like, what are you guys doing? What do I hear here? And then I hear this group over here. And I mean, it's just a laundry list of them messing up and getting into trouble. And the biggest problem, I think if you could sum it up in one word, is the Corinthians, is arrogance. They're a very arrogant group. I want to talk about what it means to be wise. What is wisdom? What does it mean to be wise? Because they're smart. I mean, you can be a smart person or an intelligent person, but what's the difference between being smart and wisdom? Smart is about figuring things out and, you know, having a good memory. Intelligence means you know a lot of stuff, right? Being smart is a good thing. What about wisdom? I have a few friends that I would consider very, very smart. I'm amazed at their intelligence. But some of my smartest friends, they can't even tie their shoes. I mean that metaphor. They just have trouble. Like, they know advanced physics, but they can't find their way home from a restaurant that they go to all the time. It's like there's something that just sort of disconnects with simple tasks. So smarts has categories, right? It depends on what we're talking about when we talk about smarts. Wisdom is something different. Wisdom sort of aligns with your purpose in life. Smart is what is this, or how does that work? But wisdom is, what is this for? What is the purpose of this? Why am I doing this? Jesus starts off his ministry. He makes statements that don't make any sense. They're just kind of strange. I just read them in the Beatitudes. He says things like, the poor in spirit will receive the kingdom of heaven. What? Why is that? I've never seen that before. The meek, the weak people who don't cause conflict, they will inherit the earth. Usually you think the opposite, the conquerors, the strong armies, they're the ones that take over the land. If someone sues you for your t-shirt, you should give them your whole coat. That's not very cost effective. You know, what are we doing here? This doesn't make sense. Jesus' message seems to be, at first, unwise. comes into Jerusalem and he starts turning over tables of the religious leaders. Right? This seems unwise. It's just asking for trouble. It's like walking into a Vegas casino, right? With a bullhorn and going to the roulette wheel and saying, hey, those two green squares, they're going to ruin your night. I'm smart. I know the math. This is totally messed up. You know, in Europe, they only have one green square. But here in Vegas, there's two. They're trying to take your money. Right? What would happen if I did that? Right? Guido and Antonio would come out there, hey, come on over here. You know, right? It would be trouble. It's just not wise to do something like that, even if it's true. Right? So let's talk about it. Think of you heard the story of Jesus in the first century. With a first century ear. Let me get this right. Your God is greater than Zeus, comes down from heaven, is born into a poor working class family. He leaves home and kind of wanders from house to house, living off donations. He upsets his own religious establishment. The people who should appreciate him the most. They make up a story about him, which puts him on trial with the Romans. He's innocent, but he won't defend himself. They ask to prove his innocence, he remains silent. They send him to the cross, and he dies on it. They take his body now and they bury him in a tomb, also donated. His followers, instead of avenging his death with a big revolution, they run and hide in fear. This is the greatest story ever told. What? You have to admit, it does sound like folly, doesn't it? Not only to the wise, but to everyone. Why did God do this? Paul says, what is the power of God to save is folly to those who are perishing. Said it in your passage. Even the wise can't figure out this story. The story of Jesus Christ shames the proud and the arrogant. Says no matter what destructive force in this world tries to derail God's purpose for his creation, nothing will stop God's ultimate plan. Nothing can prevent God's purpose for all things. That's what the story says. What does it say in Roman? Something like, not death, nor any other created thing will separate us from God's love, our eternal relationship with Him. I know I botched that. That's your favorite verse. I'm sorry. But it basically says that. Our job in this life is not to live longer at all costs. It's not to get rich or impress our friends. Not to win as many Super Bowl rings as we can win to prove we're a legit quarterback. God calls us to do the right thing. To do justice. Not worry about receiving justice. Do justice. Did Christ receive justice on the cross? No. God says, in the midst of the worst injustice and persecution, do the right thing. Do justice. Love mercy. Walk humbly, step by step, with your God. That's how the Micah passage just ended. This is foolishness to the lost and fallen world we live in. But it is the power of God for those who are being saved. That's you. Let us sing our hymn of the day. It is 842. 842.